Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Ryan Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. And it is a very happy Monday in Jacksonville as the Jaguars come home 3-2 and in first place in the AFC South thanks to a resounding, I wanted to use that word for a time, John, a resounding 30-9 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field. The pundits around the National Football League are shocked. I will admit to myself and to you that I, too, am shocked at the way that the Jaguars were able to run the football yesterday and control the tempo of the game. I thought they'd do some things on defense, but it was the running game that really stood out to me that really opened that thing up yesterday.
Well, and it's what they've talked about really since the beginning of the season. It was their willingness and the scoreboard's ability to allow them to stick with it. They really allowed it. I mean,
the way the game unfolded, for sure.
The way they were playing in the first half, they hadn't dominated it. But when you get an 11-point lead, it was 20-9 at that point, and are able to say, you know what, even if it doesn't work, we're far enough ahead right now that we want to attempt for it to work. And then they ran off 12 straight plays and 12 running plays, 67 yards. Even though it didn't end up in a touchdown, that's a big-time, big-boy drive.
So, and we'll talk about that as we get into the big things. But big picture, to go beat the Steelers the way that the Steelers would like to beat you, which is run the ball, play great defense, take the ball away, create sacks, interceptions, touchdowns. Well, I got to be honest, I wasn't sure they'd be able to go up and play that well.
Right.
Coming off the Jets loss against a Steelers team that was doing things really well in Pittsburgh, running the ball, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger. I thought the defense would have to score. They did. A huge win.
Well, I'm no brain surgeon. I don't know if you know that or not. I'm just a lowly sports writer. But I said last week that if they were going to win this game, there was a formula to do it. They had to get a break early. They had to get in by break a defensive turnover, and I thought turn into points. Well, Jalen Ramsey, I don't know if it's a break or not, but he made an unbelievable play on the ball in the first half and turned the game around and got them back in it momentum-wise. They weren't out of it. It was only 3-0, but you felt they had gotten the ball, Pittsburgh, and they were driving a little bit, and you felt like, boy, if they went in, if they got 7 out of that drive where they were moving, you felt like it was going to be one of those games where you had trouble sort of keeping the sand from falling on. You know, I mean, it was going to be – but then all of a sudden he makes the play, and they're back in it. I said they needed a break and some points off turnovers. I didn't think they'd get 5.
You know, and before we bring Ashlyn in, it's funny. An unnamed, a man who will go unnamed this morning – executive said to me yesterday, you should have picked us. I saw what you wrote. You should have picked us, right?
Nobody picked him.
Exactly. But here's my point.
Did that guy pick him?
I don't think he picked.
Come on.
Here's my point. It is that this team believed that they were going to go play well, even if we, especially without Brandon Linder, right? You forget that they went up there and were able to run the ball so effectively without their best offensive lineman. If we didn't see it coming, they at least had confidence in themselves and their game plan going into Three Rivers Stadium. Time now.
Or Heinz Field, either one.
God, I said that yesterday like 4 times. I can't help it. I was longing for the old place.
It's always Three Rivers.
It's always going to feel like Three Rivers, but that was such a bull ring. Okay, time for big things and our first look this morning at Ashlyn Sullivan. How are you this morning, Ashlyn?
Good. How are you guys?
Very, very good. So what do you got to lead off?
Well, of course, the first thing is the Jacksonville defense and how they had themselves a day. 5 turnovers, a franchise record. Both Telvin Smith and Barry Church had a pick 6. The Jags became the first team since the Bears in 2012 to have 5 turnovers. Now, my question to you guys is, they pressured Ben Roethlisberger from the beginning. Do you credit this huge win for the defense on Ben having that bad of a day or them just playing that well from the beginning?
Well, Ben wasn't great. He hasn't looked like himself all season. But it's not fair to the Jaguars' defense to say, oh, this was all Roethlisberger or it was all Flacco in Game 3. They've got 15 takeaways, and they had 5 yesterday. And it's the sort of game where I didn't think Ben played that bad in the first half.
No.
And you had a pick, and you sort of kept the balance even. I thought what was most impressive about the Jaguars' defense yesterday, and I asked Barry Church about this and a couple other players, it's one thing for a defense to get five picks and to get momentum-killing turnovers when you have a lead and when you know that the opponent is going to throw. Their turnovers yesterday came with the game on the line, with them trailing twice. They were trailing when Jalen got his interception. They were trailing when Telvin got his pick six. It's one thing to know the other team's going to throw and have ears back and that, but his team yesterday, the defense created its own leads. That's different.
So, to me, the moment where the game changed was in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Jaguars went into the halftime break, as you know, up 7-6. Steelers come out and drive down the field and kick the field goal, right?
It felt like they were going to be terrible towels all third
quarter. And they did start to swing a bit. Jaguars come out, go three and out, didn't do anything on that drive. And I can remember thinking, they're backed up deep in their own territory now. All of a sudden, this thing could get ugly if they're not careful.
But you're feeling the old defense, I think. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, absolutely.
And I get it. I was there with you.
Yeah. And so the second play, here comes Telvin, pick six, takes it around the other end, touchdown. All of a sudden, you could just see the Jaguars sideline elevate itself, and the Steelers sideline kind of slumped their shoulders. They're like, uh-oh. The towels dropped immediately. That
and
was
you may have
moment.
Had the good fortune to already read it, but
I
wrote this, that it felt sort of like it could be one of those season-defining, I don't go on a limb and say franchise-turning moments. When Telvin got the interception, all of a sudden, maybe people will now see this defense as, instead of being worried that Pittsburgh is going to go length of the field in that situation, all of a sudden you see it for what this defense is starting to see it, which is, this is where we're going to cash in. They saw it as their moment, and we were all worried it was going to be the Steelers' moment.
So the defense after the game, during the game, on the sideline, you had Telvin Smith talking to Miles Jack, saying, we're the best defense. Mm-hmm. I'm the best guy that wears number 50 in this league. We're the best defense. And they carry that into the post-game locker room.
Sure.
Barry Church said, we saw him rattled. We had him rattled. We had his number.
And it looked at
Jalen Ramsey was sitting over there talking about he and Aaron Colvin and A.J. Boye being the best cornerbacks in the league. And can't you just see it? This defense took a big step forward last night in Pittsburgh. Huge.
Well, and
and they believe it.
The naysayers are going to say, well, how about 256 against the Jets? But it's a week-to-week league. You know, it hasn't been a play-to-play dominant defense. But when you've got 15 takeaways and 20 sacks, when they get going and when they get in situations where they can swarm, they're good.
I joked to somebody before the game, the defense is going to need to score today.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they'd do it twice. I know you just said you didn't see that coming either. But
right.
The thing, I guess the point I'm getting to, is that this defense believes it can do anything it needs to do anytime it needs to do it.
And really three times. I mean, you know, it scored twice, but it also set up, you know, I don't think the Fournette dive or the fly, if you will, happens if you don't get the Ramsey interception early. The defense absolutely took control of this game and changed.
It's worth pointing out also that they got two sacks, so they have 20 on the league on the year, lead the league. They got a lot of pressure on Bet.
It
didn't show in sacks because he's a hard guy to bring down.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always, in Ngakoue, as you'll see, folks, if you go to the Mic'd Up that was just posted on Jaguars.com, you'll see how close he is to getting to Roethlisberger time after time after time.
Especially after about the first, I watched some of it this morning, first quarter and a half, Ben had some time. But again, once they started swarming, once they got that first pick and sort of smelled blood in the water, even when they didn't get him, it was dangerous. 15 takeaways, and they had 13 last year.
Yeah.
That's a mind-blowing stat.
Well, third win of the season. They had three all year last year. Obviously, this is a team that is going in a different direction than it has in a long, long time. We've got much more to come. Big things continues. Ozone Snapshot. More with Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osier, and myself, Brian Sexton, on Jags Drive Time on a beautiful, beautiful Monday morning in the River City. Back after this.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go!
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access, presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daily's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Drags Drive Time. Sorry about my voice, by the way. This is a result of a Gator football loss. Moving on to big things number two. If we had to sum up the Jaguars offense in one word yesterday, it would be to run. Rookie running back Leonard Fournette rushed for 28 times for a career best 181 yards and two touchdowns. Now, mind you, his career has only been 5 weeks long. Now, guys, is the result of this great running defense or great running offense, would it be that Blake kind of just was almost like non-existent in the second half? He was basically there just to hand off the ball. Is this the reason that the offense played so well going forward?
Before we answer that question, you have to answer a question to us.
Uh-oh.
Is the vocal issue you're having this morning related to you singing at halftime? Were you screaming Tom Petty lyrics at the Swamp? Because that piece of social video was unbelievable. It was really cool.
Maybe that was a factor, and it was more so that they're not playing very well. Right. But we'll blame it on that.
All right. And we'll move along and talk about Leonard Fournette's amazing day.
Yeah, and, you know, I got a lot of emails last night about Blake. And they won the game. They're 3-2. This is not a perfect team. In the NFL, you win, you try to get to the next week and fix what didn't work last week. They get the running game going. They have the defense working. At some point, they've got to get the passing offense going. This is going to be their formula. And they want to play defense. They want to be able to run the ball. I thought yesterday Blake was, 8 of 14?
Yes.
Didn't throw it all in the second
one
half.
One attempt in the second half.
Oh, why would you? I mean, they were wanting to establish some stuff. They had Fournette waving safeties up.
Which was amazing.
That was their thing. That was their day yesterday. Blake Bortles will be a story for 15 other games. For yesterday, I didn't think he was atrocious in the first half. I thought there were some moments where I got a lot of emails where he threw a pass where it was incomplete, and people jumped to a conclusion that was a terrible play by Blake. On the first play of the game, I thought Hearns got held, for example.
Sure.
I thought Blake was sort of a non-factor, but I didn't see him as a negative factor, although there is a tendency to jump to that whenever something goes wrong right now.
Well, and okay.
And the scramble saved him at that point.
There's no doubt. And he also had the 31-yard pass to Marquise Lee. Yep. And he had the 19-yarder on the touchdown drive that gave him the 7-3 lead.
Yep.
Right in the middle where he stood in the pocket to find Allen Hurns for that. Here's the thing that Blake won't get credit for, because quarterbacks never get credit for this, but he was looking at that defense and having to adjust the runs.
Yep.
He was having to read it and make sure they were in the right run at the right time.
Tyler Shalley deserves some credit there, too. Usually the offensive lineman's making line calls in that situation.
You bet.
It's the center. Without Brandon Leonard to do that, even mentally, is a big win for the Jaguars' offensive line.
So people have to remember that when Tom Coughlin first built this team back in 1994 and 1995, the one thing he said, and you remember, was you were going to build it to beat the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers are the ultimate NFL running team. It's what they do. They embrace that part of their mentality, of who they are. To go into Heinz Field and do to them what the Jaguars did yesterday is mind-boggling. 19 fourth-quarter runs. 19. Mm-hmm. And as much as Telvin Smith was that game-changing play,
The
game-defining moment was when they were backed up at the four-yard line. First play of the fourth quarter, and the Jaguars go on that now ballyhooed 12-play running drive. And you had Fournette running for 13 and for 11, and then Chris Ivory comes in for 6. Fournette comes back in for 12, and then Ivory had that beautiful run around the left end for 19 yards. That doesn't happen to the Steelers at home.
This will be a game, if
Not that defense.
Fans choose to remember it, and I think this will be one that's remembered for a while. The moments will be the interceptions, the defense, but we were talking 2 or 3 weeks ago to Leonard Fournette during media availability and asking him what his philosophy was on running out of bounds. Because at some point, backs have to. And he said, yeah, you do it at times. And at the very end, he said, but there's also times that you want to send a message. Well, message after message yesterday. I mean, there was a play going from my right to left where he had a chance to avoid the safety. And instead, he ran him over. And I even heard Loggeman and Baselli. I was listening to their broadcast, and they're like, I'd have liked to have seen him. Yes, you'd like to see him make a miss. But yesterday, that game mostly was about Leonard Fournette saying that he was tougher than the entire Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and he eventually proved him right.
Well, and how often are we going to see
nobody
him
does this,
waving?
Ryan.
No, no one. No
nobody
one.
Does this.
No one. No one says, come on, come right. on. Right in front of the Steelers.
It was an unbelievable scene that I'm not sure I think I've ever seen it, and I've seen some tough running backs. And, I mean, I want to see more. More, Brian, more.
You're going to get more. You're going to get more. The Steelers got more. Two more plays to mention of his. The first, obviously, is the leaping touchdown from the 4. I think it was ESPN's Next Generation Stats that had him at chest 5'7" off the ground.
It was unbelievable.
You're talking about a 240-pound man now launching himself with his chest 5 feet in the air over the top of the pile. That was a freakish play if I've ever seen one.
Well, and we asked Doug. Remember, Fournette did that against the Bucks,
right?
Out there, and you're going, this is a training camp practice. Yeah. And Marone, I forget exactly what he said, but he basically said we have to sort of figure out if that's something he's going to do because we need to block it. We need to know it's coming. Well, I think it's something they're going to do.
It was reminiscent of Walter Payton,
yeah.
But Walter Payton didn't weigh 240 pounds.
No, it was LT and Payton are the two best I've seen at that, and that was, I mean. You don't see that very much because it's a more dangerous play than most people realize. Because when you're up, you can get lit up, but not when you're up over.
So the last play is the 90-yard touchdown run. And the coach told me last night, Doug was standing on the plane, and I asked him why that worked because the Steelers had everyone in the box. I mean, how do you rip that off? And he said that they had shown them something that they hadn't shown before. The Steelers weren't prepared for it. The line blocked it beautifully. The reason I mention it, A, it's a franchise record-setting in the regular season,
right.
Record-tying. Fred had the 90-yarder against Miami. But just to see him run away from somebody in the NFL, we hadn't seen that yet. The longest run had been 17 yards. Now it's 90.
And you were down on the sidelines going, 90 yards! Right?
No. I wasn't. In my mind, I'm thinking, wow, that's a franchise record. That's
a long
Fred.
Run. It was – you're right. It shouldn't be underestimated that – this is a big man who had yet to have a breakaway run in the NFL and was able to pull away and maintain distance.
All right, back to Ashlyn for our third and final big thing. Ashlyn, what you got?
Well, guys, it feels good to be number one, doesn't it? On top of the AFC South, this is the first time since 2010 they've had a winning record through 5 games. Now, how long can the Jags keep this up, though? We've been told since OTAs and training camp that the goal this season is to win the division. And when as weeks go by, it seems like that's more of a realistic goal.
You know, just outside their locker room is that win the division.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the dates and the scores for all the division games. Obviously, you know, winning the division is huge. It's the way into the playoffs. Sitting at 3-2 with the Texans all of a sudden and the injuries that they suffered.
Mm-hmm.
To lose J.J. Watt and Merciless yesterday. I mean, huge blow to their defense. The Titans...
Titans gave you one yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, you got that back. Their quarterback has a bad wheel. You don't know what that one's going to do. The Colts obviously won't have Andrew Luck back until sometime after the midway point of the season. The time is now. You get a home game against the Los Angeles Rams coming across the country, and then you go to play that Colts team with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The next 2 weeks will go a long way to deciding how long they can keep it up.
Well, it's all out there in front of them, and it's been all out there in front of them because they – have yet to slip behind in the division. And now they have a lead. And at this point, when you're 3-2 and you have beaten the team that I think most people consider maybe the second or third best team in the AFC, Patriots, Steelers, Chiefs, I mean, everybody will say that's not the case today, but over time that's what it's been. The division's supposed to be your goal. There's a long way to go with it. You've got to get 6, 7, 8 more wins. But... Oh, why shouldn't they be thinking about that at this point?
Sure beats being 2-3 and in a first place tie.
Yeah. And it's, boy, you're a sniff away from 4-1, Brian.
Yeah. But you can't think that way.
No, you can't.
You got to move forward, which is what we're going to do when we return on Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio. Ozone Snapshot is next.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
It's time for Ozone Snapshot, and they're pretty positive this morning. Bill from Yulee, do you think the passing game will improve from this point on?
Well, you know, the cynic among us is, would say, well, it has to. It was all, you know, but, yeah, I think it will, and I alluded to it earlier. You know, everybody wants perfection from the start. It's not a perfect team yet, but it's got a defense that I think people think it can rely on. It's got a running game that in the NFL you're not going to get 250 yards every week. But it's clearly got a running game that when the circumstances are going right, when they can get to it, it is shown that it can produce, and I think people believe that it's going to be something they can rely on. Well, right now you're 3-2, and the thing that you've got to figure out is how to get more games that are closer to the Baltimore game, how to get into more situations. I don't think they want to be a team that's throwing 48 times a game and completing 34, you know, it's not going to be that type of team. Can it get to the point and can it find some receivers out of this bunch that can be consistent enough for you to improve this? I don't think everything that's going on with the passing game right now is not on Blake. This is a group effort and the receivers also have to get better.
No, it's not all on Blake. And when you go back to the Jets game, he made two game-winning plays in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. You know, one was a drop. Well, one was overtime. It was the drop by Marquise. The other was the throw to Leonard that was called back by Aurelius Spence penalty. So he's capable of making the throws. Again, do you want him throwing it more than 30 times a game?
Right.
You know, probably not. I'll say this. I get it. Guys don't come off the waiver wire and become stars for you in most cases. But I'd like to see Jalen Strong and the James O'Shaughnessy kid get involved in the passing game just to give him more targets. Because Marquise Lee is not the big guy like Allen Robinson.
Right.
Neither is Allen Hurns. And the ball that Blake Bortles has always thrown well is that jump ball to the big receiver. They need that big receiver. Strong's a big guy, 6'3", 220. When the hamstring's healthy, let's see if he can add something in the passing game and take some of the heat off the outside guys.
Give some credit to Marquise, too. This kid had, I don't know how painful his ribs were, but I've never heard of a rib injury that's
right.
Not painful. I think it affected him more against the Jets than probably he was willing to say. And I had two big catches yesterday, including one that he had to go up for. So
he took a big hit.
Called upon, he did it yesterday.
Took a big hit in the sideline. If you're going to give him credit, for blocking as well downfield on Chris Ivory's 19-yard run there that set up the field goal. He was down the field pushing that cornerback out of the way.
That's the most underrated part of Marquise's game. He's a good downfield blocker.
Absolutely. Good player. But more good targets on the field would certainly help, and it'd be interesting to see whether they can get those guys. All right, back to Ashlyn. More from Ozone Snapshot.
Yes, number two, Robert from Reno. I saw 100% of the predictions from so-called experts choosing the Steelers to win. I hear others downplay us because of our history, and they won't let it go. Was this win what we needed to start getting the respect we earned?
You know, and anybody who reads the Ozone every day wants... I'm not a big worry about national respect guy. It'll come. If you're on Twitter yesterday and we're reading the national guys talking about the Jaguars, nobody's ignoring this defense on a national level. Now, if I was a national guy yesterday and I'd been picking that game, I would have picked the Steelers. I think I did pick the Steelers.
Yeah.
I think you picked the Steelers. I think Ashton probably, you know, the respect will come if you're 8-2. Guess what? You're not going to care about respect because you're going to have a 2-game lead in the division.
So the storyline this morning is Roethlisberger throws 5 interceptions. What Jaguars fans would like to see is Jaguars defense throttles Roethlisberger, steals the ball 5 times.
And that takes time.
That's the shift.
Right. True. Right.
Over time, that is the shift. The reason that it's not is because Roethlisberger is an MVP, a 2-time Super Bowl winner, a guy that everyone expects to play at a much higher level.
It's because he haven't won a big game since he won in Pittsburgh in 2007. That's, it takes time to have that narrative change. National guys are sitting in an office in New York, and Big Ben's the name, and Jalen Ramsey's not as big a name as Big Ben yet.
And here's the thing about predictions.
But he will be.
The thing about predictions for people out there, he's got to just play in the odds.
Sure.
I mean, they want to see that their record at the end of the week and at the end of the season is positive, not negative. So they're playing the odds, and the odds said Steelers.
It's sure.
At home. Of course it did. So don't worry too much about that. Back to you, Ashlyn.
Third and last one. Tommy from Delaware. Oh, is it true? Did he wave on the hit? Please tell me it is what it appears.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was.
It is.
I mean, it was cool. Again, I've never seen anything quite like it, and it really speaks to this kid's mentality, his confidence. You don't often see guys as rookies come in, and it's not even a case of commanding respect. It's just he doesn't have any other way about him but to believe that he's the best player on the field. His teammates believe in that. He clearly sets the tone for this offense and even this defense. He's a special cat.
You know, to see him, when he waved the safety over and then ran over Mitchell on the Steelers sideline, the defense couldn't get off the bench fast enough. I was standing right there.
Yeah.
I mean, they exploded off the bench. They were hooting and hollering.
It's an unbelievable moment to see in the NFL.
And to see the way that his teammates responded to him, I mean, Miles Jack was 3 feet in the air. He was so excited about watching that. And for a defense that carried the water for a big part of this team's first month of the season, to get that kind of production from the running game, well, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I asked him in the locker room after the game, and his eyes got real big. He says, you could ask anybody in this locker room what it means to see Leonard and Chris controlling the tempo like that. It fires them up.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've never seen anything like it.
This is now part of Jaguars lore.
Absolutely.
Right? You just do this, and people are going to go crazy. In fact, you'll probably see people doing this in the stands
Absolutely.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
It's going to have that kind of legs.
Yeah, it was a moment that, I think anybody saw it will forget.
All right. Jaguars 3-2, and that'll do it for Jags Drive Time. John, thanks so much. For Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato, and Pat Cavanaugh, we say enjoy the rest of your Monday. We're back with you with Jags Drive Time coming to you Friday morning at 8:30 tonight in Jacksonville, 7:30 on Fox. I'm sorry, 7 o'clock on Fox. I get it right. 7 o'clock on CBS. Did I say that enough? 7 o'clock on CBS, 7 o'clock on CBS. Jags All Access. Barry Church, he of the pick six in his own hometown, joins Calais Campbell, Jeff Loggeman, and Brett Martineau. That's 7 o'clock on CBS tonight in Jacksonville. Have a great day, everybody.